listeners. Welcome to the latest episode of the Arkansas Shrimp Tank. Our purpose on this show is to bring you insights from local entrepreneurs who are leaders in their industry. We learn how they got started, what it takes to grow, and what their goals are for the future, all to provide up-and-coming entrepreneurs in our community a leg up in the business. Whether you're a shark or a shrimp in the business world, there's always lessons to be learned from others. So, David, you did a 24-hour trip to Florida.
Yeah, man. Got back at midnight last night. And you know why I came back?
Just because, for this.
Just for this show.
Just for Catherine.
Because Catherine Thorpe is on the show.
Aww.
I have been looking forward to this show with Catherine Thorpe.
Didn't she cancel on us five times or something?
Well,
yeah.
One and a half.
But, so I had to rearrange my whole schedule for her.
I'm the worst.
And come back.
I remember you were talking so much about looking forward to spending an entire week in Florida.
That's right. That's how much I love this lady.
I am so honored.
No, actually, I did do it for you, but my wife said also, you better get back for Catherine Thorpe's Shrimp Tank Show. It was a good trip. Got back midnight, woke up early, and just been really looking forward to this show because I've been hearing about Catherine's business for quite some time. Quite a phenomenon here in Little Rock. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about it. The show is going to be a great show. We're going to have a lot of fun. But let me introduce Catherine to our guests. Catherine is, number one, an amazing woman and wife. Mm-hmm. And mom of three, and she's the owner of Full Out Bar here, which we're going to be talking about on the show. She's a veteran of the dance and pro cheerleading world. Her experience as a dance instructor spans 18 years and includes time as a trainer, judge, and choreographer. She was a cheerleader with the Kansas City Chiefs, and one of the cool things is about the video wrap-up, she's promised to give us a cheer, a Kansas City Chief cheer, right, Kat?
So, Catherine, only if there's room to do a toe touch.
Toe touch. Well, you can kick
and
it over
a
the quarter.
Only if y'all will do a kick line with me.
So she was voted cheerleader of the year and most likely to change the world and most positive and highest integrity. Well, that's a duh. I know that about her. So she holds many certifications in various dance disciplines, which would probably take our entire show time to go over. So anyway, without further ado, Catherine, welcome to the show.
Yeah, it's good to have you.
Well, thank you.
I used to work with Family Life for a while, got to know some folks in Kansas City, and he actually worked for the Chiefs. So
no
we
kidding.
Went up there with all the kids, and the wife and Mary and my daughter went shopping, and we went to the Chiefs game and got to go to the pregame all the alumni and everything, and the big spread of food. It was really quite fun.
So that sounds like
fun. The cheerleaders don't get to participate in those buffets, do they?
No, we do not. But the post-game, we eat the football, just every bit as much as the football players, okay?
So before we jump into all about Full Out Bar and everything, what's your favorite memory or experience from being a cheerleader with the Chiefs?
The camaraderie of the team. We had my coaches, Elaine Hart and Annette Flynn at the time, they're not coaches there anymore. The coach now is fabulous as well. She was the lead choreographer when I was there. But at the time, one of their main principles was gossip was not allowed, which sounds pretty out there for a professional cheerleading squad, but they stuck to it. It was a hard line. And women would get fired for gossip.
Wow.
But what it created was a camaraderie among that team that I have never experienced before. And it changed my life.
Wow.
I have never been a part of a group where I felt so safe and supported and secure. I mean, I was in three of the girls' weddings, who got married. I was maid of honor twice by these women, and they would have been in mine had I not already been married.
I just thought of a really good plead the fifth question. What's some good gossip from your time?
I know, plead the fifth. Exactly.
You didn't get to share it then. You can share it now.
No, it was. I mean, it really changed the way I saw female relationships, and it put in me a desire to foster that for other people.
Right.
Because for women, once you experience close friendship, not just with one person, but with a group of women, it's really life-changing.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And very rare.
That's beautiful. Now, in your intro, 18 years as an instructor in dance, when did you start dancing? How old were you? How long, tell our listeners about your journey in dance.
I mean, I started when I was 2 years old. I mean, my mom put me in dance. It's her fault. And she's so precious. She's so supportive. She's one of the most amazing women I've ever known. She's one of those moms that if I do something wrong, she's like, if it's hard, it's probably just because you're doing a really good job.
Oh,
she's
wonderful.
Just such
so
an encouraging woman.
Yeah.
But I liked dance growing up. I didn't love it. Uh-huh. I liked it. Honestly, when I started loving it is when I started teaching it, which that's so odd, but I fell in love with it. I was okay at it. I'm not a natural. I always had to work really hard, and that's something I always had. I'm a hard worker. I would practice on my back porch when everyone else was done. I would make myself do 50 toe touches a day to get a better one. I would make myself do 100 fouetté turns till I got it right. I mean, it was just discipline. I mean, and then it was, I was 18, I was in college, I needed a job, and I thought, well, I could teach little kids to dance, right? Like, what I lack in skill or natural talent, I had to learn the technique so precisely because I didn't have the natural talent, if that makes sense. So I had to learn that. And then once I started teaching, I realized my heart came alive when I was teaching. And I just began to love teaching. And I found this passion for seeing other people have that aha moment.
Right, right.
Like I would have.
Yeah, your motivational gifting. You found that. You kind of discovered it by doing the teaching.
I did. And I think it's because I'm not a natural. And so I know how it feels to not be a natural. And I know how it feels to need to know the details and the skills rather than just breeze over. And then the instructors just choose that. The instructors tend to focus on the people who have the natural talent.
Right.
You know, and me, I loved focusing on the people who had the desire.
Right, right.
And because if you got the natural talent, you don't need me as much, right? So I loved, so I started teaching at 18, and then I danced at Ole Miss. I was on the dance team at Ole Miss, a rebel. I loved it. Started a competitive cheer program at a dance studio there for kids. It was awesome. I also love starting things, so I love that kind of stuff. And then I just kept on doing it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. What a great story.
So I know we're going to get deeper into the topic later on in the podcast, but share with us what it was like to go from someone passionate about teaching dance to owning and then scaling your passion into a business.
Oh my gosh, wow. That is quite a leap, isn't it?
So like it's like, okay, you're teaching away, you're enjoying it, but now you're making this leap like, I'm going to take a financial risk here, I'm going to take a...
I know. I kind of was like this, which I know you can't see it on the podcast, but it's cover my eyes, one hand out. I'm going to do it. I'm going to leap. You know, one of those.
Given the blindfolded Heisman.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly right. You know, I always had a dream of owning my own dance studio. When I was teaching dance, I got pregnant with our third, Oliver. He's now almost six. And the timing for teaching dance is Monday through Thursday, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. So Wes and I, he would come home from work, we would cross each other. We were like ships in the afternoon rather than ships in the night, but just crossing in the afternoon. And I quickly realized my dream of owning a dance studio was not going to be realized if I wanted to have the family life that we desired. So I really shelved my dream there and never imagined that I would have been able to come back into a dance studio in this capacity. It just blows me away the way that God has worked all this out. So after I had my third, I started taking bar classes, which is B-A-R-R-E, ballet bar. It's a wooden bar that's anchored into a wall that ballerinas use for support when practicing technique, in case listeners don't know what that is. It's not a drinking bar. Also a great place, but this is a different kind of bar.
And also things that have rails for support.
Rails for support and also... You just never know when you're going to fall over at either bar, okay? So this whole bar craze within the fitness world had started to blossom. And I had also been a fitness instructor along the way and love health and wellness and kind of goes hand in hand if you're a dancer, any kind of athlete, usually end up loving fitness as well. So the bar craze started going on. And I remember being 6 weeks postpartum. So I had that postpartum belly hanging out, third baby, so the belly is much rounder than it was. It takes a while to bounce back. And I remember going to my first bar class and feeling so self-conscious. And it was around, it was a place that it felt trendy, it felt a little pretentious. that could have been them. That could have been my own insecurity walking into the place. But I just felt so self-conscious and nervous. And it felt so brave for me to walk in for the first time. And I just remember being shaky and scared. And then I remember my hand touching the bar, and I felt the connection with the bar. And throughout class, I just remember thinking, this is what I'm meant to do. This is taking my love for the bar and the studio, and I could do this during hours when my children are in school, or there's care for my children, and then we could be home in the evenings and have a family life that we desired. So I got my first bar teaching job out of desperation by the club owners. I was taking a bar class at the Little Rock Racquet Club and was like, anytime y'all need a sub, here's my resume, trying to get my foot in the door somewhere. And they were like, no, we don't usually hire members, but thank you so much anyway. Well, one afternoon, all the instructors were sick or injured and everyone was out, and out of desperation, they gave me a shot. So I taught the class, and I knew, and this is something I've learned along the way, it's okay to say things I'm good at. It's not a bad, deep breaths, it's okay. I'm good. I was good at it. I knew I was good at it. I knew I loved it. And I said, if you guys liked it, let the director know. And someone else went on maternity leave. I got to take their classes and take over their classes during maternity leave. And my following grew. And we got to the point where people would be like throwing elbows to get spots in the class, and they'd be out in the hallway taking class. And I mean, it was just cool, packed. And the director at the athletic club said to me, you need to do something with this. This can be something. And so I started doing research. Is what I'm doing really out there? So this is what I was doing that was different. I would take a bar class, and it was basically toning based. So bar classes traditionally are based in ballet movements, rooted in ballet, but are focused on small muscle movements and toning. So I would do that, and then I wouldn't have a cardio workout there. So I'd feel like I needed to go do 30 minutes to an hour of cardio in addition. Because that's just how I am. It's a little bit of a problem. I'm working on it sometimes.
A little bit of health OCD, huh?
A little bit of health OCD. I have it. I love it. Like, I just love it. Like, I could work out 10 hours a day if I had the time and the energy to do that. So I started doing a bar class where we combine high intensity interval training with ballet bar toning. And I did it to like super fun, high intensity rap music, hard rock, super fun, because that's how I taught dance. When I teach dance, the room gets sweaty, the mirrors get foggy, it is loud, it is high energy, it goes by in a snap, it is detailed, it is just blow your mind fun. When I teach, that's like, I'm if you're an Enneagram person, I'm a 7 on the Enneagram. So like my core like desire is to always have fun. So if I'm not having fun doing something, I'm not going to want to do it. Okay. So I started putting those two things together, created this class, and decided to call it Full Out Bar. Full out is a dance term. So if you're a dancer and you're preparing to do a performance, the director will say, okay, I want you to do this one full out while we practice. Full out as a dancer means you're going to do this to the best of your ability, like you've got a packed house in front of you. Yeah, so like the queen herself is in the audience. That's going full out. So chose the term full out because it described what we were doing in class. The energy is full out. The music is full out. The sweating is full out. The community is full out. So that's kind of how it was born. And is this a lot of information?
That's really good. Well, let me parlay that and kind of piggyback on that and say, let's focus on a little bit about like your unique business model for Full Out Bar, which one of my daughters, Miriam, she went to the class and she came back. She said, that's like full out torture because it's intense.
Very intense.
And she's very athletic,
very athletic.
And so talk a little bit about the uniqueness of the business model and how you guys have developed it.
That's a good question. So are you thinking uniqueness of the business model itself or uniqueness of the format?
Well, it's probably centered around the format, isn't it?
Well, it's actually two different things. So it's interesting because the way the business has become profitable and successful is thanks to Gray Williams, who you mentioned earlier. Uh-huh. He helped come up with this genius business model.
Gray, okay. Don't be patting yourself on the back.
Oh, Gray, we love you.
Another Gray mention. He's right up there. There's about five people we mention all the time on the podcast.
And he's one of them. Oh, well, yeah. Worth a mention for sure. He's so humble, he probably not toot his own horn, so we can do it for him.
There you go.
So the format itself is designed to where people will, class participants will burn 600, 800 calories a class. And there's three options for every fitness level. So there's always like a high intensity, high impact, high heart rate level. And then there's always a couple in between. And then there's always a low impact, low heart rate level.
So I got to interrupt you there a little bit. So Gray told me he actually went through one of your classes and I asked him, did you really survive it?
He did.
All right. Did he do the high, low, or mid, or sissy level?
He actually, you know what? He did exactly what was right for him. And that is part of
the
what
sissy
we
level.
Do.
No.
Okay.
So you're being politically correct.
No, here's the thing, though. We want people to go at their own pace.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we want makes it so to much be sense. Accessible.
Yeah. And it makes you want to come back.
Yeah.
You don't feel like you got to be, you know, the 20-something doing full out, you
exactly.
know, you know,
because the thing
level.
Is you can't sustain it. And right. it's not even something where you start at one level and you move to one level.
Right.
It's literally meant to be accessible for everyone.
That's brilliant.
We have people who are 300 pounds. We have people in their 70s. We have people in their 20s. We have triathletes. You will see every body type.
That's cool.
You will see every brand of handbag. We want this to be a picture of humanity.
Yeah.
A homogenous, like non-homogenous, like beautiful group
right.
of people that looks diverse.
Sounds like it's a unique community that you're creating
it
through
is
that.
So beautifully unique.
Huh.
It is so exciting.
Interesting.
But anyways, no workout is ever done twice. I've never taught the same class twice.
Huh.
We were talking about this in our staff meeting last night, and Blake and Kelly, who do our social media, they're like, what, you guys never teach the same format twice? I was like, no, all of us who are instructors are like, no, it is one of our policies is we never teach the same class twice. So it's never a canned workout. You can do full out bar every day for years and you will never get the same workout.
Wow.
Yeah. That's kind of like part of our secret sauce. So it's the way the manuals are written. It's the way the class builders are designed. And I really wanted to design it that way. The way the manuals on one end are written are so that instructors can build a class in 15 minutes or less and be able to teach a different class every time. And there's so much variety. So you never get bored and you never get sick of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had people who've been with me for years and they're like, they've never seen it twice.
Let me ask you a business question.
Fascinating.
Since I'm not as familiar with the business model, is it a membership or is it a per class fee?
So we have everything. We have monthly memberships, annual memberships, by the class packages,
okay.
kind of something for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I'm always like, if you want to be here, we're going to make it work.
And then the other thing that's really unique.
I really do try.
Someone's come to you, I can give you $2 a class. We'll
like,
make it work.
If you fold towels, deal.
But the other thing that's unique is you do it within existing dance studios, right? Explain a little bit to our listeners about that.
Yeah, so that's really why we've been able to make it profitable very quickly. So the way we ended up in dance studios, well, several reasons. Number one is because I didn't want to be in debt. And I started saving my pennies to open a studio about 6 years ago and just kind of socking away everything I made, teaching, personal training, and saving, which I'm thankful we could do that. I'm thankful we could save. And I had a little nest egg saved up, and I wanted to be able to afford a build out and afford 6 months of rent before having to borrow anything. That's just me. I get stressed with debt. I do better when I just know there's no debt. That's just I feel like I can operate out of a place of generosity and grace rather than stress and needing to count every penny that way.
Right.
That's just me. So I started looking at building out the space. And one of the things that I really wanted to be a requirement for Full Out Bar are sprung floors. So dance studios have sprung floors within the studios. If you're ever in a dance studio, when you walk into the studio, you'll notice you step up about 4 to 5 inches. And that's because they're engineered to have springs in the floor to take impact off people's joints.
Okay.
So the dancers can be in there dancing 5 and 6 hours at a time without hurting their bodies. I knew growing up the difference between being on a sprung floor and, say, a basketball court floor or a traditional fitness center floor. I knew the way it made my body feel and how good I felt after one versus the other. So I was looking at building out. I could afford the build out. I could save for the rent. I could not afford the floors. And so I just thought, okay, I'm going to pause. I'm going to save. I know what I need to save. They're extremely expensive, which is why most people don't have them, which is why you walk into a dance studio and they're simple. The place they spend their money on is floors. Yeah. So I thought to myself, I have a friend, Allison, whose mom owns Shuffles Dance Studio. I grew up dancing there. I grew up with Allison. And I called her and I said, Allison, how much would you charge for me to rent out studio space from you by the hour? And she said, like $20 an hour. And my wheels started turning. And I was like, do you have empty space? She was like, all day. And I was like, call me when you put your boys to bed. I have an idea. Wow. Yeah. And so they had this extra space in additional where Valley, Arkansas used to be. They used to share space at Valley, Arkansas. Valley, Arkansas moved downtown. So they had this extra office space. I said, what if I rented that space from you, set up a full-out bar branded space, and we started sharing studio space together? She said, I love it. Let's do it.
Love it. Yeah.
And Greg kind of helped us work this together. So yeah. What happens is because we only pay for the space for the classes we use, we can always create profit margins that are favorable to the business.
Right, right.
So Gray and I we set up an algorithm, and I know how many, I projected how much we're making next month. That's how many classes we can offer to stay profitable. And I remember a friend saying, I said, my goal is to be in the black when we open on day one, because I pre-sold memberships, enough memberships to cover us and be in the black on day one. And my friend said to me, I love you. There's no way that's going to happen. I mean, this is somebody who has his PhD in marketing, and he's a great friend. And we were in the black day one.
Wow.
So, and we were out of debt within 4.5 months. So, or not out of, we were in debt. It was out of, like, I recovered all that I'd spent.
Right,
let me
right.
rephrase. I'd recovered all I'd put into it. So
you recouped your investment.
Recouped the investment. So yeah, that's kind of the business.
You know, thinking from a business critical standpoint and the startup and how you succeeded, in answer to Rich's question, it makes total sense. There's kind of three key things you did that I hear, maybe more, but one is having somebody like Gray Williams, a business consultant, to help you think through
absolutely.
The business critical decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, a friend who's got a PhD in marketing who mm-hmm. you can bounce things off,
mm-hmm.
and you went with your gut, and it worked. And then three, you know, this man, I got to have my own space. And then all of a sudden, boom, you have a creative solution for your space that's super cheap, $20 an hour.
Yeah.
And you help this person who has space decrease her overhead. So it's you thinking critically, you're thinking creatively.
I mean,
you're thinking lean. How do I do this thing in a lean way? Start off, boy, those are some good lessons for people who are thinking about starting a business.
Well, thank you. And, you know, it's, I mean, something else important to me is I wanted to be able to pay my instructors and staff better than anyone in town. And that was another goal. So that was like all figured into because I have the most amazing staff that anybody could ever ask for.
Wow,
and so I just, cool. my joy and desire is just to pour back into them as much as I can afford.
Yeah.
But then also, like, we get to give back to the arts in a very direct way.
Hmm.
I mean, we are writing a check to a dance studio owner that is sizable. And for a dance studio owner, they're not doing this to be wealthy.
Right.
Dance studio owners do this because they are passionate.
They love it.
They love it.
Yeah.
And so what we're able to do for their reach and the investment into the arts in our communities
wow.
is huge.
Hmm. That's really cool.
Which is why we're opening with Valley, Arkansas, because they're like, oh my gosh, the reach we're going to give Valley, Arkansas, who's a nonprofit,
yeah.
is huge for them.
Wow.
So
how many staff do you have? How many instructors do you have? How many locations do you have?
Okay. We have 17 on staff, and that's part-time. Like okay. we have part-time
yeah.
staff. 13 instructors, two locations, getting ready to open a third.
Wow.
So I personally own the West Little Rock location and will own the downtown location. And Ashley Trover owns our first franchise in Bryant.
Fantastic.
And we set up to be a franchise from the beginning.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
So you've already got your franchise disclosure document
we
in
do.
Place.
We have that ready to go. Yes.
That's really neat. That's really cool.
Hey, love I want to jump a little more. Oh, sorry, David. Didn't
no, go ahead. Go ahead.
Jump a little more into the kind of the entrepreneurial business side of things. So from a bird's eye point of view, what's one thing you would want to convey to those that are thinking about starting their own business?
Oh.
Any kind of business, some nugget that you picked out that you'd say, hey, consider this.
Hmm. I think consider trying something different. Get lots of advice. Have lots of people, lots of voices. I am a big advice getter. I'm not used to giving. That's why this is very awkward. Yeah, I don't know. Like, work hard. Be prepared to work hard. And also, don't expect to get to the place where you're not working hard anymore. Mm-hmm. If you want to grow, you're going to work harder and harder. There is not this fantasy life where, like, you make it, unless you, like, sell your business, I guess, which, you know, but you make it and then you're like, oh, I have everyone doing the work for me. Mm-mm. Be prepared to work. Be prepared to get up at 5 a.m. Be prepared to stay up till midnight.
I'll tell you one other thing you did without realizing it, or you realized it, but it's super, super smart, is not going into debt to start the business.
Yeah.
There's not that many you can do that with,
There's
but when
not.
You can, it is so freeing because you get to build it exactly the way you want to build
Isn't
it.
Isn't that right?
So,
yeah, funded out of revenues. It's fantastic. Yeah.
I'm so thankful.
So just to make sure I understand, so you kind of thought, well, ballet does these hour slots from 4 to 9. Mm-hmm. So they have these spaces that are open so that you can use it in those off hours. And so what are the hours that your full out bar locations utilize? What are the hours that people come in and do their full out bar?
Yeah. So we have like early morning classes, 5:15, 5:30 a.m., mid-morning, 8:39 a.m. We have noon classes, like, that are 30 minutes, or lunch express class for working people who can pop in, pop out. And then we have afternoon and evening classes. And we've negotiated that in with the dance studio because our Little Rock space, she has five different studio spaces within her dance studio.
Wow.
So she lets us use, you know, a studio at 6:30 p.m. while they have classes going on. And then we have classes on Saturdays and Sundays as well.
How many people are coming through the West Little Rock?
Oh my gosh, we have like a client list all in all of about 1,500.
Wow.
Yeah, and then our steady members are not as much. We have people like on membership month to month around 150-ish.
Yeah.
Between 120, 150, like depending on the month, people drop and add. And then we have people buy class packages. We have people pay by the class. We have people buy a year at a time. So you kind of have it.
It's all
over the map. Yeah.
That is so cool.
Which I'm still trying to figure out. I still feel like I'm trying to figure out what's the best way for the person, what's the best way for the client to attend, what's the best way for us as a business, and still feel like I'm figuring
Catherine,
that out.
This podcast has been so boring and slow. We're going to have to move into the fun part now.
I'm so glad you said that. Wow.
That was really
We've been having a blast the whole way. I normally say now we're moving into the fun part of the program, but the whole thing's been fun.
Y'all are awesome.
I've got 10 more questions, but we got to go.
We got to wrap it up.
We're getting to our 30-minute.
Our producer's cracking the whip there.
Is it really already 25 minutes?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Time flies when you're having fun.
It does.
We'll edit it down to 10. But
okay, get all the
fluff
out.
So what we want to do is move into our Plead the Fifth segment, which is we're going to ask you questions that we hope you won't answer. You can either, you know, plead your Fifth Amendment right to against self-incrimination and just refuse to answer, or you can answer. If you answer, you get the point. If you don't answer, we get the point.
Okay.
If we win, our wives get a full year's membership to Full Out Bar. And if you win, you get this nice mug that says Shrimp Tank on it.
Oh, challenge accepted.
So here we go. Okay. First one, name Full Out Bar's most improved client of 2019.
Oh my gosh. I have so many. Oh, I feel so guilty if I say somebody and somebody else gets their feelers hurt.
You can always play the fifth.
Oh!
That's a win.
Oh, my gosh.
Dun, dun, dun.
I know I'm at a time clock. I'm going to have to play the fifth.
We got a point.
All right. I've got the next question. Okay. So does Gray Williams wear tights when he does Full Out Bar?
Yes, he does. One for me.
I don't even like the visual image.
Pink tights. Pink ones.
Pink tights. That's really, that sounds like great.
Hey,
that's awesome.
I'm going to eat lunch after this, David.
All right. Well, that's good.
Since David went off script.
Wait, that wasn't one that was written down?
No.
I'll ask his questions. What would your instructor say is the most challenging aspect of working with you?
I can be very scatterbrained. As one of them called me, you are the most organized, unorganized person I have ever met. Yes.
All right. If we don't count the Great Williams pink tights question, we're 1-1.
Okay. Yeah.
No, you got to count that. I mean, she answered.
Okay, we'll give her the point.
All right. So I've already mentioned Miriam talking about full out torture. Mm-hmm. So how often do people blow chow during a workout?
They're like done. They're just gone. Okay. Well, I will say, thank goodness. And I hope I continue to improve. I am a much better instructor now than I was when I taught Miriam. Much better. I did not understand giving options to people. I was just one track mind, more in like the dancer training mindset, to where we do one thing and we're training into one thing. And I moved more into the fitness mindset of not everybody wants to die.
Right. Not everybody's like you.
Not everybody's like me. There are different types of worker outers.
David and I used to coach basketball, and like the first practice of the season would be on a Saturday morning. Morning, and these kids would eat like Cheerios and milk and chocolate milk for, or Frosted Flakes and chocolate milk for breakfast, and they'd be puking in the garbage can about an hour into it.
Did you think it was like a win? Really?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right, man. I feel good.
So rarely, to answer your question, very, very rarely. It really only happens at this point in the game when people aren't honoring themselves.
Right.
And they are pushing too hard. And I can watch them and be like, please take option three. You got this.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to give up if you go too hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Makes sense. Yeah.
Okay, David, I'm going to let you ask question five, because we can't have an even number, because we always have
that. Makes sense.
We've asked four already.
Oh, okay, well, it's your turn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, it's your turn.
All right, last question. Did you ever forget the choreography during a Chiefs cheerleader halftime routine?
Oh, yeah. 100%. 100%.
Do you just fake it, or do you bump into the other cheerleaders?
You
or?
Fake it till you make it. Oh, my gosh. Yes, I totally 100% forgot things. And it, oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Great.
Absolutely. Yes. Great question.
All right.
We have just been joined in the studio by the owner of the Bryant location.
Yes. Welcome. Yes.
As usual, you know, the other people, they just show up for the food at the end. You know?
I don't blame them one bit.
Okay. Welcome, Ashley Trover, to the studio.
Yes, welcome, welcome.
We are actually just finishing up. Catherine blew us away on Plead the Fifth. It was like 4-1.
You both get a shrimp tank.
Do you not
tank.
Have any other questions?
We both get a shrimp tank.
We do, but we, you know, we've already run over time.
I mean,
overtime,
for the Plead the Fifth, these are really fun.
They are fun. Yeah, we have a blast with it.
Okay. We'll have you back once with that, when Ashlyn can make it.
Sounds
too.
Good.
We'll make a half hour of Plead the Fifth.
That sounds fantastic.
Exactly.
That sounds fantastic.
By the way, Ashley, how is Michael?
Oh, he's great.
Okay, good. Okay.
That's so neat. So as we wrap up, so our show sponsor is BRS Consulting, and they view themselves as rehirement advisors, not retirement advisors, which means, you know, we don't really retire. We don't reach our goals, which you talked a little bit about on the show, and then just go collect seashells on the seashore, right? We have a purpose. We have a meaning. And you said something on the show that was very interesting about how you give back. You try to give to your people, give to your instructors, and give back to the arts community. And you guys can both answer this if you want to. And one of the end game of the BRS Consulting rehirement process is to be a generous steward and leave a lasting legacy. So what would you all want Full Out Bar's legacy to be?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is just and having just stepped in and not heard the conversation. But when I think of our legacy and think of what Catherine has built, I think...
And what you have built.
What we have built together.
Yes.
I think first and foremost of the community and the relationships that we see daily being made in the studio. So it's not just it's not just about a workout. It's about people and their hearts and the relationships that they're building with one another. And I see relationships that are going to last, you know, forever, because these friendships are very special and these women are very special.
Smith, you weren't in the show, but that became crystal clear in the show.
Cool.
Community, the community that you created through this.
Yeah, and like what I was talking about, the Chiefs cheerleader thing, what was my biggest takeaway was creating an environment where gossip wasn't allowed, so real relationships were formed.
Yeah.
And like Ashley, that has been paramount to who we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, like I was sharing when I was postpartum 6 weeks after my third and my belly was hanging out and how scared I felt. Yeah. I want to create an environment where people who are terrified to walk into a fitness studio can walk in and be met with love and warmth and not, and I mean, this is what I tell our staff. I want you to welcome the person who walks in with their husband's t-shirt, with four children in tow, maybe more, rolled up in a beater car, because that's what they have.
Yeah.
And meet them with the same celebrity status that you would if a news anchor walked in the door. Wow. Everyone to be treated with that level of love, care, and interest into who they are.
Wow. So. Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, you know, I know I can go. If Pink Williams, if Gray Williams can go in pink tights, I think I can go.
Well, Catherine and Ashley, we want to thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. For folks that want to keep up with you, learn more about Full Out Bar, maybe learn about classes, maybe learn about, hey, how do I become a franchise owner kind of thing, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Probably our website, fulloutbar.com, Instagram, at Full Out Bar.
And bar is B-A-R-R-E.
B-A-R-R-E, yeah.
All right. Well, listeners, make sure to catch the post-show video wrap-up on our YouTube channel. Then you can see what these two lovely ladies look like, and you can also see how great David and I look.
Absolutely.
And if you want to hear past guests, you can always go to our website at shrimptankpodcast.com/Arkansas or subscribe through iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud. Until next week, stay safe and remember to become a shark in the business world. We all start out as shrimp.